Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bill Michaels Show, Kevin Holden, CBS 58 in Milwaukee. In just for the day, to use the Kawhi Leonard term, little load management for Bill as he and the rest of Wisconsin get ready for Packers-Bears on Sunday at Lambeau Field, week 15. Packers trying to win their 11th of the season. An exciting time, a lot to sort out. And only one person who can help us out in a situation like this, you better call Paul.
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
On the Schneider Orange Hotline, here to help us with our football fix, green and gold analyst, Paul Immig. What's going on, Paul?
Kevin Holden. I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Man, it's all good. It's week 15. I somehow am alive in a fantasy league, so there's a little bit of fantasy, a little bit of reality. You know, it's kind of like my life most of the time.
What percent is fantasy?
depends on the time of year. It's probably about 2/3.
sure. That sounds about right from knowing you, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. All right, so the reality part's the part we care about the most, and that's the one where 10-3 faces 7-6 at Lambeau Field. And if the Bears were 3-10, I think we might be still a little bit worried about where they are. But the fact that they come in 7-6 and on a three-game win streak, do you – look at those last three opponents that they've beaten and dismiss it, or is it meaningful that they've won three in a row?
Meaningful. I think there's different types of 7-6. The Bears are the worst, you know, if you're the Packers, the Bears are the worst type of 7-6 to be playing because it's a surging 7-6. It's a team that's on the rise. It's a team that a little bit earlier today, you know, Matt LaFleur was talking about their defense and how much that group in Chicago has really come together. I'm sure there was a bit of a learning curve, you know, when your defensive coordinator becomes the head coach in Denver, and there's going to be some, you know, yes, some change over there that's going to overlap, but some of it's going to be new. And, you know, I think even if you go back to week one, and I always feel, Kevin, that week one, you know, I don't care the win or the loss. I don't care the way in which you do it. Week one is always weird. You know, you just, that game the Packers and Bears played, those are very different teams than I think exist today. I think Packers fans would certainly agree with that from the sense of the Mike Pettine basically carrying him off the field in Chicago because he had just put together such a great game plan against the Bears. And now, you know, Mike Pettine's defense has a couple stars. Darius Smith is a star, but, you know, there's a lot of problems defensively. And the Bears now, who looked, you know, dead in the water and lost at 4-6, all of a sudden have a running quarterback apparently again in Mitch Trubisky, and have what a lot of people thought like should have been this defense all along, which is a great defense, as LaFleur has said, one of the best, if not the best defense in the league. And I think the last time the Packers played an elite defense, they went to San Francisco and got destroyed, you know, and looked horrible offensively. So if a Bears defense is at that level Sunday that the 49ers defense was a few Sundays ago, then, you know, can LaFleur kind of get out of this current rut that the offense is in? Because, you know, just like there's different types of 7-6, Kevin, there's also different types of 10-3. And I think the Packers are the type of 10-3 that for most haven't been inspiring confidence in probably not since that Oakland game a month or so ago. So, I mean, this is far from a gimme for the Packers. I think that's for darn sure.
Yeah, you look at 10-3 as an interesting note or an interesting mark when you're talking about standings right now, because you could say that hovering around that same mark, you've got a handful of teams that would be considered elite in the NFC. You've got Seattle and San Francisco and New Orleans and Green Bay. And I think the consensus in Wisconsin right now is that the Packers are a pretty good team, but they are not at the level of those other three that I mentioned, Niners, Seahawks, Saints. You feel like that's right?
I do. And in fact, I was so curious about sort of the pulse of Packers fans that after Sunday's game, mind you, a game they won, obviously the sentiment amongst Packers fans wasn't good. So I put out a Twitter poll. I think I got like 1,200 votes. And it was pretty simple. It was, okay, where do you, like, how far is this team going to get this year? You know, the options being, of course, early playoff exit. They're going to lose in the NFC Championship game. They're going to lose in the Super Bowl, or they're going to win the Super Bowl. What percent, Kevin, do you think said early playoff exit?
Like 75.
Yeah, it was, you could probably go check it out, bro. It was like 67, 68%,
wow,
somewhere in that range. And, you know, it hovered there for most of the time. So, I mean, for two-thirds of people, Packers fans, mind you, for a 10-3 football team, don't even see an NFC Championship game appearance. Now, when you're the number two seed, like, you're already in the second round, right? So that means you're basically just going to lose your first. If you're an early playoff exit, you know, you can assign whatever, you know, value you want to that. But that means you're just going to get your first round bye, and then you're going to lose. Like, two-thirds of Packers fans think that's what's going to happen. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of where the feelings are on a 10-3 Packers team that could probably sleepwalk to 12-4, you know? I mean, worst case, you're talking 11-5. I mean, the Lions are on their ninth-string quarterback. Like, that one is a gimme. You know, maybe the Packers are at a point by that point in the year that you know, the result becomes meaningless to their standings, and maybe it shifts it. But overall, yeah, it would take quite a salesman, I think, to tell two-thirds of Packers fans that this team is, you know, heading to great places this year. And, you know, I can see why some people would think that. Again, this has been a very uninspired 10-3. They haven't looked great doing it for most of the time, but 10-3 is still 10-3. You know, and so it's seems like an uphill battle, though, to convince people right now that it's a legit Super Bowl contender in comparison to, like you said, Seattle, New Orleans, and San Francisco.
I have the poll, and it was 64% early playoff exit, and 12% say win the Super Bowl, which is, there's a whole other topic of pessimism there, because usually when you talk about any topic like this, you kind of put a quarter, 25% on either side, 25% that are just optimistic, like, we are going to win it all, and then 25% that are like, they're terrible. 12% say win the Super Bowl. Did 2017 and 2018 make us pessimists?
Or I would argue that the last 25 years have made us spoiled.
Yeah.
You know, that's another way to look at it is, you know, and again, I mentioned this the other day with Tim Allen. This has been described more to me than I've ever heard, really, like, in any sport, about, like, the worst 10-3 team people have seen. Like, I've gotten that comment repeatedly. I don't know. I mean, that's a subjective thing to say, and that's, you know, up to the interpretation of the person. But I think that is why, you know, that you're seeing such a drag. I think only like 2 or 3% even said lose in the Super Bowl, which still tells you like 1 in 6 don't even think the Packers have a chance to get there, much less win it. So I do think that between this game and the Minnesota game, if I was to redo that poll, let's say the Packers beat Chicago on Sunday by, you know, a couple touchdowns and look pretty good doing it, and then go into Minnesota and win, you know, how much do those numbers change if I was to completely redo it 2 weeks from now? Probably, you know, I guess it depends how they look winning those games, theoretically, but I'd be very curious to see it because, right now, I mean, the pulse of Packers Nation is not feeling like this thing is going to be playing a game in February.
And there are some reasons on this team to feel that way. Offensively, obviously, you've got a little bit of issue outside of the running back position. When Aaron Jones is good, they're good. But or when he's good, the offense rolls. But on defense is where my big question is, because you can't argue the Smith brothers and that secondary is so much stronger. But I think part of how you feel about the Packers depends on how you feel about Blake Martinez. So right? I mean, that tackles number is through the roof, but how do you really feel about Blake Martinez?
Oh, my gosh. I don't think we have time for that right now. I think, let me give you the bullet point version. I think the value that a football fan assigns to the tackle number of course, much like with A.J. Hawk, completely tells you what they are watching for in a football game. I mean, I would say that Blake Martinez is a below-average inside linebacker, a below-average starting NFL inside linebacker. So, and I think that's not because of, you know, what of like his run defense or his communication skills, which are both pretty good. But in pass defense, that's where he gets exposed, and I think is probably the primary culprit in why the middle of the Packers defense, from a passing defense perspective, has been so vulnerable. I know many others, you know, who have sort of echoed that opinion as in terms of, you know, the opposing offenses will target a lot of those guys because Blake Martinez's sideline to sideline speed is, you know, not at the caliber or the quality of most starting NFL inside linebackers. So, you know, it's a tough spot to be in. It was a spot you'd like to upgrade. I'm sure the Packers thought Oren Burks was going to help address that as a third-round pick in last year's draft. You know, obviously an injury last year, and then, you know, it's not getting on the field as much this year has hurt that. But that's a long, I think, discussion because I do think an overall tackle number is not that important. I just don't place a lot of value in it because, you know, a tackle 6 years down, 6 yards down the field is a tackle, but it's like, well, great, it was a 6 yard gain. So that's maybe the shortened version of how I feel about the tackle number and maybe some of the inside linebacker play this year.
Paul Emick, our Green and Gold analyst, and as you know, when Paul is here and I am here, Paul is also my television insider. We're reaching an interesting time, especially if 64% of your Twitter audience is right and there's an early exit. They're going to be a 2 month stretch, January and February, that are the deadest in my personal world because baseball season there's so much stuff and football season there's always so much stuff. January and February. That's my time where I have some free time. So this is more than ever, I'm paying attention to your suggestions here for shows to watch.
Here's the problem. I have fallen behind probably a little bit, and I cannot be quite the valued resource that I once was. For example, last night, a show I probably told you about in the past, I was trying to watch Silicon Valley, the series finale. I think it was on for like 6 or 7 years, and I fell asleep during it, you know. I had to go back and watch it tonight. I am definitely a proponent of Mindhunter on Netflix, a very interesting show that's on season 2. So starting that one here coming up in a little bit. I did see the awards that came out yesterday. Do you guys cover that? You guys probably don't cover that at CBS, do you?
I was off.
Not really, right?
I was off yesterday.
Okay, so you don't even know one way or the other. But no, I told you, I think probably not that long ago, about a show with Bill Hader on HBO called Barry. Great comedy / dramedy type of show that I loved, and it got a bunch of award nominations. So I was like, oh, I guess the critics might see that one similarly. But I will say, because you probably don't dive into movies any deeper than you do TV, right?
Much less, actually. I probably can count on two hands the number of movies I've ever seen in my life.
How are we friends? No kidding. It's like, that's pretty much my whole world, Kevin. What are you doing to me here, bud? I finally saw Rocket Man, the Elton John musical biopic. It was wonderful. So I don't probably have to tout that one too much because everyone's probably, well, you haven't seen it, but probably some people have. And Rocket Man was fantastic. So that was a little bit of my non-sports entertainment here in the past couple of weeks.
I am going to have to see Richard Jewell, but there are other reasons.
Yeah. You were probably there in some capacity nearby, right?
I was about 100 feet away from the bomb. The video there's a home camcorder video that's basically the video of the bomb. I'm in the middle of the shot. It's funny because we go through so much other stuff in life. We have not had a chance to delve in that, but that's probably one of the most formative experiences of my years on this planet. So I'm very interested to see how that movie treats it. I was very, like, during the previews, I'm paying attention to how the phone booths look and how the soundstage looks, and it's the most accurate thing I have seen since that day.
The early critic reports on it, Rotten Tomatoes is like 88% or something like that. So, critics are you know, raving about it. But that's on my list as well, coming up here, but not for similar reasons as you. So that's wild, Kevin. I did not know that about you.
Yeah, I'll be in that movie. Almost undoubtedly, I'll be in that movie. So that'll be interesting to see. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, always appreciate your time. Let's keep this going into January, shall we?
Or early February, right?
Man, Miami sounds good. That's what I'm talking about. Appreciate it, Paul.
All right. See you, buddy.
Paul Emig joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. They work hard. You work hard. They treat you fair for 80-plus years. They've been getting it done. Call them 800-44-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.